Okay. Take a breath. Close your eyes. Recall the home of your childhood. Can you smell the cookies in the kitchen? Can you open a drawer in your bedroom? Do you see the sunlight through a window? Every building has a story, and not only a story, every building has a sound. Many sounds, actually. Ryan Scamenti runs the Acoustic Archives. Their big project is to record those sounds. Their methodology is simple. Use super high-end microphones to record the same dry bed music in different spaces in the same building. And soon, the reverbs and echoes and personalities of the different spaces will be apparent. As Steve Paulson discovered when he listened to the sounds of the abandoned Cary Blast Furnace in Pennsylvania.
One. Two. Three. Four.
To the Cary Blast Furnace in Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Tell me about this place.
It's a pretty amazing place. It was built, I believe, in the late 1800s, and they made steel and iron there, a lot of which went on later in the 20th century to make steel for the tanks that were going over to World War II. Some of the steel is in the Empire State Building, and it's an old abandoned blast furnace. Just, I mean, the place is enormous.
So do you think sound tells a different story than, let's say, photos or video of the same place?
Absolutely. I mean, just think of your senses. You know, how you appreciate taste is certainly unique and different to how you appreciate sight, you know, is different to how you appreciate sound. So I think so. I mean, you know, we get nostalgic certainly when we smell a certain thing and when you hear a certain song and when, like, even like I said, like, you know, when you hear, like, a famous speech by, you know, say John F. Kennedy, and there's the echo of the voice, and it definitely, the fact that it's not just the clean vocal, that it has a certain tonal quality to it, and, you know, echo, for lack of a better term, to it, definitely can put you somewhere different mentally, and I think that is just fascinating.
We have to talk about the technology that you use here.
Sure.
Starting with the microphone. I mean, I've seen pictures of it. It's kind of a cool looking thing, sort of space age.
Yeah. It's a really, yeah, that's the steampunk. That's the newest, that's the name of it. Because, I mean, you take a look at it, that's kind of what it looks like. Binaural microphones are basically microphones that can mimic human hearing by taking two microphone capsules and putting them on. A lot of them actually come on like fake styrofoam heads, and they'll put a capsule in one ear, a capsule in the other, and that's supposed to mimic the sound of human hearing, because you have, it will be in stereo, as we all hear in stereo, and then you have the space in between the both microphones acting as your head. Now, this was taken to another level. I mean, there's plenty of binaural microphones out there. People use them for recording orchestras and live music. Sometimes you can use them for recording the overheads of drums. But this microphone's a bit different because its frequency response is drastically different than most microphones. Most microphones pick up 20 hertz to 20 kilohertz. This picks up 8 hertz to 48 kilohertz. So it's below the threshold of human hearing and well above the threshold in human hearing. And one may ask, like, well, what do you need that for if you can't even hear that high? Well, there are overtones that are occurring well above our frequency spectrum of what we can hear, that when upon playback, you will hear certain things you would never be able to hear if you didn't use a microphone that would have specs like that.
I have to ask you about this lunatic asylum, the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum. The name itself sounds a little scary.
Sounds terrifying.
Yes.
It sounds absolutely terrifying. And, you know, it's an amazing structure. It's about 500,000 square feet. And it's been abandoned, I think, since the early to mid-90s. It was a fully functional asylum in the center of this town. And when we pulled up, it was just like, this can't be real. I mean, it looks like something out of just a, you know, science fiction movie. in that place alone, I think we did 40 different rooms. I mean, and it was just an unbelievable experience because there was maybe seven or so people in the building, and these hallways were just endless. Like you walk down one, it's hundreds of feet long, and then you go into another, you go through a little hallway, and then there's another one that's hundreds of feet long. I mean, the place was just incredible.
Well, and of course, you knew that it had been used as a lunatic asylum for,
oh, yeah,
for decades. I mean, that must have given it a little extra spice.
You know, it did, and when we walked in there, I'm not a ghost person, you know, and it was a little creepy. It was definitely a little creepy. I didn't have, like, the feeling of one would think you might have when you walk into a place like that of, like, you know, the echoes of your past or anything like that, but there was definitely an odd feeling walking around in a completely abandoned place that size and also that had the history that it did, for sure, no question.
Have you found that the sound of a place like this reflects at all what the building was used for?
One thing that I will say is it gets a little hairy when you go back and you listen to this stuff and you hear certain things that you did not hear when you initially recorded it. For instance, when we went to that place, they took us into this room that apparently a little girl had lived in this place at some point, and we went back and listened to the room, and you can totally hear like a little girl talking. I mean, some weird things went down.
Wait, you heard a little girl talking?
Absolutely, yeah.
In this abandoned lunatic asylum?
Yeah. No, you can hear, and I don't really trust this stuff, to be honest with you. I'm not a ghost person. I feel like there are psychosomatic things that occur with hearing where you know, there are just sounds multiply on top of themselves and can make other sounds, but
this is not psychosomatic. You're saying this was recorded by your equipment.
I mean,
right?
It is recorded. Yes, it is recorded. But like, we don't like talking about it because we try not to go down the ghost route as much as possible. But once again, I'm an atheist. I do not believe in ghosts, and I've heard a couple things and seen a couple things that definitely make me question that.
Well, putting ghosts aside for a moment, I guess what I'm really wondering is whether a house or a building is alive in some way. I mean, not just because of the people who are there, but just the building mm-hmm. itself, whether it somehow feels alive.
I'd like to think so. My mom, I'm a New Yorker my whole life. The reason I bring up my mom, she's got this house and you feel different there. There's something, it just oozes good vibes. You know, I've gone there, I've made records there, I'm a musician too, and it sounded really good. And certain spaces make you feel a certain way. I certainly believe, you know, what you put into the universe, you can certainly get back out. And I think that is a real thing. And whether it's, you know, an old blast furnace where people used to work and worked hard and helped, you know, America win World War II, or it's, you know, someone's home or whatever it can be, there's definitely a feeling of what came before you. You know, I was recently at the Apollo Theater and I got to go on the stage and kind of hang out and be in that space when it was empty. And there is definitely a feeling of something greater than yourself in when you're in a situation like that. Walking out on a stage where, you know, Stevie Wonder, Michael Jackson, Otis Redding, all these people are, and you're just sitting up there saying your name, it feels different. You know, being in New York City, being anywhere and walking into a historic building, there is a vibe there. And it could be good, it could be bad. I don't mean to sound like a crystal-wearing witch here, but I mean that there is a reality to that, I'd like to think.
Ryan Scametti runs the Acoustic Archives.